ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तोजयेत् प्रयुजयेत् नास्तप्रेषु अपाद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10. This is Text 7. So Text 6 I'll read, and then we'll do 7 together. This is Deliverance of the Jamal Arjun Trees. Text number 6. Tam drishtva vridita devyo vivastra shapa shankitaha vasansi paryadu sigram vivastra naiva guyako. Upon seeing Narada, the naked young girls of the demigods were very much ashamed. Afraid of being cursed, they covered their bodies with their garments. But the two sons of Kuvera did not do so. Instead, not caring about Narada, they remain naked. Text 7. Tau drishva madira mato. Shri madan dao suratmajo. Thayur anugrahartaya shapang dasyanidang jago. Tau, the two boys of the demigods, drishtva, seeing, madira matau, very intoxicated because of drinking liquor. Shri Mada Ando, being blind with false prestige and opulence. Suratmajo, the two sons of the demigods. Tayo, unto them. Anugraha Arthaya, for the purpose of giving special mercy. Shapam, a curse. Dasyan, desiring to offer them. Idam, this. Jagao, uttered. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Seeing the two sons of the demigods naked and intoxicated by opulence and false prestige, Devarshi Narada, in order to show them special mercy, desired to give them a special curse. Thus he spoke as follows. Responsively, seeing the two sons of the demigods naked and intoxicated by opulence and false prestige. Devarshi Narada, in order to show them special mercy, desired to give them a special curse. Thus he spoke as follows. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Although in the beginning Narada Muni appeared very angry and cursed them, at the end, the two demigods, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, were able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, face to face. Thus the curse was ultimately auspicious and brilliant. One has to judge what kind of curse Narada placed upon them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives herein a good example. When a father finds his child deeply asleep, but the child has to take some medicine to cure some disease, the father pinches the child so the child will get up and take the medicine. In a similar way, Narada Muni cursed Nala Kuvera and Manigriva in order to cure their disease of material blindness. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaham Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Swapadantikam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarane. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So in this deliverance of the Jamala Arjun trees, we're hearing how Narada Muni gave a special curse. You'd think, what is a special curse? You know, generally we see it very negatively. It seems that all of us, in one sense, have been cursed to take material bodies in this material world because we wanted to enjoy. So Srimad Bhagavatam is taking us through a journey, you know, creation, material desires, all the entrapments of this material world. And we are like the child who's sleeping, but we have to take our medicine. So sometimes, are you guys playing musical chairs or? In our sleeping condition, we don't have an understanding of what is right, what is wrong, what to do, what not to do. So it appears that Nala Kuvera, Manigriva, because they were the sons of Kuvera, and who is Kuvera? The treasurer of the demigods, very powerful, very rich, and it's described, we'll hear, especially in the upcoming verse, how there's nothing as intoxicating as wealth, thinking oneself very aristocratic, or I come from, don't you know what kind of family I come from? Don't you know who I am? So this idea of Aishwarya, everyone is very eager for the money. You know, they want the wealth, because they feel that if I work really hard and I get a good amount of money, I can enjoy the things that other people cannot enjoy in this world. But it's intoxicating. It's an illusion, thinking that there is real happiness in this material world. But obviously, as being sons of the Kuvera, the demigods, they took advantage of that. Generally, persons who are in the mode of passion and ignorance, when they have wealth, they use it for wine, women, and sense gratification. And this is the basic standard in the material world. People are looking for happiness, but it's like being in the desert looking for water. There's no water in the desert. It's all dry. But there's the illusion, the appearance of water. Even sometimes if you're driving in a car on the road in the summertime, due to the heat and nature, it appears there's water on the road. But then when you get closer, that water is gone. It's not there. So it's described that by good fortune that Narada Muni appeared on the spot, but he's Trikalagya, he's all-knowing, past, present, and future. So in order to give special benediction to Nalakuvera Manigriva, I don't know that they've done some pious activities in the past, but by being the sons of Kuvera and demigods in the heavenly kingdoms, obviously there is some pious activity involved, because generally the demigods are devotees of the Lord, although there's more room for the gratification of the senses. So we try to put the two together. How is it that one who is elevated due to pious activity go to the heavenly planets, but then he has more opportunity for enjoyment? So Kshine Punye Martilokam Vishanti, that generally from the heavenly planets, from the upper planetary systems, after using up their pious activities, if they don't have the special awakening of the urgency of love of God, or applying their devotional godly qualities for serving or devotional service, generally they come back into this material earthly planet. Because by this is the whole Vedic scheme, that by performing sacrifice, that if one understands that this world is temporary, this life is temporary. I've seen my great-grandfather died, my grandfather died, my father died. So many friends are dying all around. Everyone who's born in this world will grow old, get diseased, and die. Everybody dies. So it's like a little child on the bank of the ocean making a nice castle. You know the wave's going to come in and just wash it all away. So what's the use of wasting our time in this material world to try to enjoy the material opulence and the enticements of material enjoyment in the form of sex and sense gratification, and accumulating, some very high-powered vehicles? You know, if you have a Mercedes and or a Maserati and all these things, and you think that, oh, I have a big, fancy Rolex or diamonds and opulences, then you think this will bring me happiness. But we see that it's actually a struggle. Material world's a great struggle. So Narada Muni, he blessed Manigriva and Nalakuvera, but they also had to stand as trees for 100 celestial years. It's a long time. But if you think about it, that Narada Muni gave them recollection of what they did wrong. So if one is given that remembrance by the mercy of the Guru, the pure devotee, then when he is again liberated, just like in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, little Krishna's crawling with a mortar, and then with his great power he tumbled those two trees down, and the demigods, being very thankful and appreciative, prayed to the Lord, and then were sent back to the heavenly planets, but in this time in pure consciousness, ready to offer their services. So yesterday I think we spoke a little bit about great fortune, chance, and how everything is happening under the plan of the Supreme Lord. So one will think, well, what's the use of endeavoring for devotional life when Krishna knows I'm a nonsense, I'm not going to make it anyway. So, or why should I put forward so much endeavor in following so many rules and regulations, when it's ultimately up to Krishna's mercy, Gaur Nitai's mercy, Krishna Balaram's mercy, Radhashyamasan, there's mercy. Or the blessings of the pure devotee, the guru, is described that one simply by studying the Vedas or performing austerities, you know, that there's many who think that, well, I will chant mantras, I will perform yajnas, I will visit all the holy places. If one doesn't awaken this love for Krishna, this seed of devotion, then there was no use in all the austerity. There was no use in all the so-called study, because the ultimate end result is not there. But even the gopis, they didn't follow all the rules and regulations or study the Vedas, and they had a spontaneous love for Krishna. So we cannot intellectually try to adjust. Generally, the process is that one who's very, very fortunate, he accepts that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and that his representative is not different than Krishna. So the Guru is worshipped on the same level as the Supreme Lord. Narada Muni, he's the topmost Vaishnava. He travels throughout the universe and giving guidance, awakening love for Krishna throughout all those who are conditioned and who are fortunate to take up this process. So although we see a few, in one sense, from the millions and billions and trillions of living entities, there's a few who may be attracted, might think, yeah, there probably, you know, there must be a God. It makes logical sense. And Srila Prabhupada, giving the power of the Guru Parampara, he's given us a formula for following regulative principles. This is the general process that when one seriously wants to learn something, he goes to a teacher and he follows very strictly the teacher's instructions. He carries out his lessons very meticulously, methodically, steady. So we have certain rules and regulations which will help us to awaken that spontaneous love. Because Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they give us the boundaries, you know, enthusiasm, patience, determination, avoiding the association of non-devotees. And we see by Prabhupada's personal behavior, his determination and his dedication to the order of his spiritual master. So when they say that when one becomes a disciple, surrenders to the Guru, tad viri pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnananas tattva darshanam. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, inquire submissively, render service, and the self-realized soul can impart knowledge onto you because he has seen the truth. He's fixed in the absolute truth. So Narada Muni instructions and mercy for the Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva, like Srila Prabhupada's mercy to all of us. In one sense, we're hoping to have a nice family life, and Prabhupada said that when he was only 24 years old, he was instructed by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to preach the mission of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said that at that time I thought, let me first of all accumulate my wealth and I'll use it for spreading Krishna consciousness. He said that one astrologer told that you could be like a Birla, you know, very, very wealthy personality. And he was very successful in whatever he was doing and always a leader. But Krishna made his arrangements in a different way. He took everything away, akinchana gochara, dina bandhu, the very dear friend of the devotees. So Krishna in one sense, but this is all Leela, showed that Prabhupada, no, you preach this message of Krishna consciousness. So all of us were thinking that there's some happiness in this world. I'm with my family, you know, I have my children, my grandchildren. All the nice ladies in the house are cooking and cleaning, and, you know, I have so many things, so many possessions. But we're hearing how Parikshit Maharaj, at a very young age, he renounced. Even Prithu Maharaj, I'm reading right now, how he was young, he had 5 sons, plus another son from the other wife, and he had so much opulence, so much wealth, and so much opportunity to gratify his senses because he had unlimited resources. But he being a Shaktivaishavatar and an example, he renounced everything, gave it to his sons to take care of the management. It's described that one of the sons of Prithu Maharaj, they call him Antardhan, because he pleased Lord Indra. When Indra was stealing the horse for the sacrifice from Prithu Maharaj, the Vijitak was the first son of Prithu Maharaj. Anyway, they called him Antardhan afterward. Yeah, Vijitashvabate Antardhan. Indra gave him benediction. That he didn't like to exact taxes or chastise his citizens, so he also renounced the kingdom and took up this renounced order of life. So there's examples showing throughout the Bhagavatam and history the great emperors or those who have achieved what most people feel is the goal of life, fabulous wealth, good family, aristocracy, respect, and the people praising and whatnot, but showing that human life is meant for awakening our love for God, meant for going back home, back to the spiritual kingdom. And it's very rare. It's not something easily obtainable. You would think that, well, why doesn't Krishna just bring us back and we'd see how nice it is in the spiritual world and we'd naturally give up our material desires. But it seems to be more complicated, this free will. We all have that minute independence. Krishna's independent, the supreme independent. And he enjoys, in a very unique way, killing demons, enjoying with the gopis, enjoying with the gopas, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj. You know, giving us a picture of the spiritual world, how we can achieve the spiritual kingdom. But when that pure love is misused, the independence is misused, it turns into lust. And then there's anger, envy, jealousy, greed, all the things which come about from unsatisfied, lusty desires. And then one's intelligence is lost, it becomes bewildered, and becomes lost in this material world. There may be a flickering happiness. One may think, I won the lottery, let me open up institution for higher education, for help orphans and children, or, retired widows, or so many philanthropic activities can be performed. And these are good activities, but the main energy should be utilized for giving Krishna consciousness. In the one chapter when Prithu Maharaj goes back to Godhead towards the end, we were reading yesterday, it says that one should not only read, but he should entice others to read. He should make them sit down and listen and encourage them. This hearing and chanting is our business. This is our, actually, if you boil down all the yajnas and sacrifices and austerities and monistic life and renunciation, the bottom line is that we develop an attraction for hearing about Krishna. The sages in Naimisharanya wanted to hear from Suta Goswami. And what it is, and the Suta Goswami is telling how Shukadeva Goswami is preaching to Parikshit Maharaj, and that same preaching is not different than Krishna preaching to Arjuna. So the pure devotee's words are non different than Krishna's words. So when we say that we surrender to the Guru, take the order of the Guru as our life and soul, that means that we're taking Krishna's order. And what is that order? Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mangnimas guru mameva sachate pratijane priyosame. Think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your prayers to me, thus you will come to me without fail. So Narada Muni, to break the intoxication of Manigriva Nala Kuvera, the idea of being intoxicated, enjoying the opulence of their wealth with the opposite sex, just enjoying in this material world, Narada Muni, it may appear, oh, how cruel, he made them into trees. But they remembered, and they were thinking of how they would get this darshan of Krishna, and then they ultimately receive the darshan of Krishna. So in one sense, those who take up devotional service, their dream of having an enjoyment or a long duration of stay in this material world is smashed. And we have to daily, regularly, not daily, but all day long, think of Krishna. And how do we do that? What is the best process to never forget Krishna and always remember Krishna? Chanting? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a concession. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha. That he's giving a special concession, because in Kali Yuga we have a short duration of life. As Kali Yuga progresses, eventually people who are 20, 30 years old will be considered grand old men. Now if somebody's 70, oh, so old. You're 70, right? Yeah, so, you know, it's like you see the body just starting to get winding down. When all the material elements, the water will go to the water, the fire will go to the fire, and all the different bodily ingredients will merge into the earth. But that spirit soul, yang yang vapi smaram babam tyajatyante kalevaram. So this life is to prepare us in this embodiment with this mind, intelligence, and ego. We all have our understanding of who we are, what we are, and we're all trying to manage ourselves in this world for the best. And the best is becoming a submissive servant of the Guru, because that submissive attitude, then we can hear properly. When one is not submissive, no matter when the Guru is speaking, they're not hearing. It's more of an ornament. Sometimes in the beginning, especially I think in the 60s, there was the uptown gurus, you know, the rich and aristocratic people thought it was very fashionable to have a guru. So they would have a guru and a, you know, picture of their guru, but they would follow no rules and regulations. It was more of a, you know, like, I have a guru. You know, so like that, like a, it was more of a social thing. But Srila Prabhupada giving the essence, I think we heard this morning that a good thing is worth waiting for. So there was a lot of yogis and swamis dangling, you just chant, give me your $35, take this mantra and you'll become, you know, happy in this life, you'll become God, or so many bogus philosophies and so many teachings. And if you look in the world of all the philosophers, all the religions, all the religious books, nothing comes close to what Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, this knowledge is not just some person sitting in a cave 5,000 years ago coming up with all these completely, in America we say, mind-blowing analogies, you know, all these analogies and the clarity of Srimad Bhagavatam. But until we have a mood of submission, you know, becoming humble, the meek and the humble shall inherit the earth, Lord Chaitanya, Trinadapi Sunichina, Tarodapi Sahishnana, Amanina Amanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. It's hard to be humble, because we all have our egos and our, you know, self-respect, whatever it might be. So humble might be something belittling, or you become like a servant. But to serve the Supreme Master, the Supreme Lord, and to serve the Guru is like serving Krishna, serving God. And the servant of God, he's respected all over the world, like the six Goswamis. They had everything, but they renounced everything so they can study scrutinizingly all the scriptures, all the philosophy, and put it together in such a way so it's understandable for all of us, so that we can also get out of the entrapment of this material world. There's a lot of suffering, a lot of agony, war, pestilence, and it's all due to the bodily platform of life. Not recognizing the eternal spirit soul is part of Krishna, meant to serve Krishna. And so we're also in the gardens where flowers are there and the birds are chirping and beautiful lakes and trying to enjoy this material world. Everyone is thinking themselves go to some island, exotic island. Everyone is, you know, extremely happy to sit around and enjoy in such a beautiful atmosphere. But that delusion is broken for one who understands the temporal nature of this world and the importance of taking up this bhakti yoga, devotional service. So we'll be hearing more about how intoxicating are the riches and thinking oneself to be very, very intelligent, very, very beautiful, Mr. Universe, Miss America, you know, this or that, or models. People are infatuated with the beauty. People are infatuated with wealth. People are infatuated with very famous people. So Krishna has all that. He's the most beautiful, the wealthiest, the strongest, even strong people. Sometimes people watch those, the cage fighting, right? See, you know, who's strong. And Balaram also was teaching the use of the club to Duryodhan. He was his disciple. So the fighting spirit, everything is there. We have everything in very minute quantity. We're very tiny little samples because the material body, it'll disintegrate and we'll get another material body. But human life is meant with this specially civilized human being, those who are given the intelligence to inquire, who am I? What is the purpose and goal of life? And who are fortunate enough to be sitting in Prabhupada's lotus feet, because Prabhupada, he's the Jagat Guru, the spiritual master, representative of the Guru Parampara. So one should be faithful to Prabhupada. You know, the Vedic, whole Vedic culture is about, you know, how to properly behave in family, man, woman, duty, sacrifice, yajna, please the gods so that all the necessities of life are there. And whatever, whether you're a brahmana, intellectual, kshatriya, protecting people, vaishya, making lots of money and producing foodstuff, shudra, helping the whole process move along. In whatever position one may be, he can also achieve perfection under this system of varnashram dharma. But the dharma in Kali Yuga has been completely spoiled by total misunderstanding, no proper brahmanas, no leadership. So Krishna says, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kaluva Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyata. That there's only one solution to all the problems, and I'm having difficulty controlling my mind, chant Hare Krishna. I'm having difficulty appreciating this philosophy of the Vedic literature, chant the Hare Krishna, chant the holy name. I may not like it, Lord Chaitanya says, I'm so unfortunate, I have no taste for the holy name. But we see that he's always chanting Krishna's name, dancing in ecstasy, and setting the example as a devotee, how one should be mad for Krishna. One should be enthusiastic for Krishna. And by following the regulative principles, by steadily chanting the Lord's holy name in the association of devotees, then that natural, spontaneous love for Krishna will manifest. It's not just like an electrical charge from the guru. We have to, Dhruva Maharaj performed the duties that that Narada Muni gave him in a very short time due to his exalted nature and his intense desire. Within 6 months, he had the darshan of the Supreme Lord by performing sacrifice. But we don't have that ability to perform the yajñas, which are described that the yogis and the great devotees perform. But the irony or the uniqueness of Kali Yuga and the particular time today, now, is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the secret formula, the magic pill which will awaken that love for Krishna. And that's the holy name of Krishna. So we need to always be fixed that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a shelter, a sanctuary, it's an abode where like-minded persons who are eager for developing their spiritual qualities, who are eager for getting out of the illusion, bewilderment of the glare of Maya. It's described that even great, great personalities, Vishvamrita, Lord Indra, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, various demigods, they all can be attracted by the illusion of this material world. And there are many examples given in that. So we are tiny little people. We're also distracted and illusioned by a desire to enjoy this world. But that rasa, that special taste, parang drishtva nivartate, one will not continue doing what he's doing unless that he's deriving some taste from that, some pleasure in the form of singing, dancing, hearing about the Lord. So this rasa, this mellow, will thicken, even though it may be in a routine way performed in the beginning. It's a routine. It's, I'm doing my practice, okay, my reading time, my chanting, my service time. It may seem a little robotic or not spontaneous, but that spontaneity will develop. You have to have faith, the maturity, just like you see that green mango, you think, I want a juicy mango, give it time. The green mango will juice, as long as it's attached to the tree and getting the source of juice and nourishment. So stay attached to the order of Prabhupada, and then we will mature to become that ripe, sweet mango. I don't know, I had a really, really tasty prasad mango yesterday, and I thought, oh man, this mango, Krishna is incredible. They call it the king of fruits. You know, when I was in Florida, we had a lot of mango trees, so we had lots and lots of mango. But many people actually don't even know the taste of the fruit of mango. You know, many, what, mango? What is that? You know, so you're missing out. So this special taste of bhakti rasa, the special taste which is awaiting us with our enthusiasm and patience will manifest. And then if we give in too soon to the mind's demands then we'll never have the opportunity to go beyond the bodily or sensual platform to a spontaneous love. So our swarup, our true identity, but we should not immaturely try to rush to that and think that I'm going to go and, you know, immerse myself in Radhakun until I get my swarup. It doesn't happen like that. Sometimes one may be inspired. All of us must have been inspired at some point to give up our materialistic life and take up the life of devotion, because something moved us, something gave us a higher taste. Now we need to cultivate and fan that. If you have a little spark, if you fan the spark, it blazes. So our little spark is given by Narada Muni, because Narada Muni sent Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada's given us initiation, giving us guidance, giving us encouragement and blessings. Without the blessing of the spiritual master, one cannot make spiritual advancement. Without the blessing of Krishna, one cannot enter into devotional service. So Krishna and Srila Prabhupada are very much connected to our devotional service. So our duty is to follow the instructions of Prabhupada, which is Krishna's instructions, and that is to preach Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and let others hear about Krishna, to chant the holy name of Krishna, encourage others to chant the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is very pleased with that devotee who makes that endeavor to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So this is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission. He saved Jagai and Madhai. Narada Muni previously saved the sons of Kuvera, and Srila Prabhupada saving all of us. So we should all be thankful, appreciative to be here in Vrindavan Dham, in Krishna Balaram Mandir. And those who have service should be very grateful. And those who don't have service, take the service of hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is service. To chant the holy name, to hear about Krishna, take prasad, it's all service. Very scientifically made by Srila Prabhupada's grace. So we'll hear more in the next several days. Hare Krishna. Anyone have any questions, comments, corrections? Maharaj? I know your question.
So now, what is it that Sukadev Goswami has that others, the girls or the women, get affected by?
I think it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that, I mean, he stayed in the womb till he was 16 years old. So he had no experience of family life or distinguishing boy, girl, this, that, and everything else. So Sukadeva Goswami, out of his pure innocence and or being a Mahabhagavat, he was not distinguishing boy or girl, this, you know, so totally. Whereas Narada Muni, I mean, although he's Mahabhagavat, but he's, you know, in one sense, he's been around. He's been everywhere. And so this is the subtlety of this world, that even Vyasadeva was a pure devotee, but still, because he was a grihastha householder, he could distinguish, you know, what is male, what is female. And then, but the girls saw that Sukadeva Goswami was not in that. He was in a totally liberated, innocent child. Like the four Kumaras, they decided not to go beyond 4 or 5 years old, because that whole desire for sex and or that energy does not exist in a small child. They just, you know, innocence. So Sukadeva Goswami had that same innocence. Yeah, he didn't care. He's a small child. Little children don't care if they're naked or not. They run around like that all the time. But as an adult, you should not do it. Even though you're childlike in mentality, it doesn't mean you can run around naked. Lord Nityananda also. Yeah, these are all mystical things, very not so easy to understand from a mundane platform. Maybe if, as we all mature, then we'll have a deeper realization about all these things. But now we're just speaking briefly. Thank you. Yeah. After you, Mataji went to speak.
Yeah. Thank you.
The last part?
What? It's a benefit for the personal medicine.
No, it's total. I mean, this is a total benefit for Manigriva and Alakuvera, because although it appeared that they lost their opulence and their opportunity to enjoy in the way that they were enjoying, but they were given the greatest opportunity that they would remember. He gave remembrance also. Even though they were standing in trees, they had the remembrance of their misbehavior and maybe the anticipation of meeting Krishna face to face. Like when you go to sleep at night, next morning you're awake, so much time goes by. Even though 100 celestial years, it may have went, you know, because we can't try to figure out from our point of view, oh, that seemed like a long, long duration of punishment. But this was Narada Muni's way, that when Krishna would appear and to put them in the yard of Nanda Maharaj and to give them remembrance, and then Krishna liberating them. So it was, even though it said curse or punishment, it was actually a great benediction. I'm not sure if I... You could, yeah, but Mataji has the microphone now. Or, but I'll bring it back to you for finalization. Yes, Ma.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned that everything is being the same. So my question is, we are just marking the world in.
We are what? It's a big picture. Krishna's ultimate plan, if you don't endeavor, Krishna knew that you would not endeavor. If you endeavored, Krishna knew you would endeavor. But still, this is, you know, from our perspective, to try to verbalize or explain what is Trikalagya, past, present, and future, and everything is predestined. It's a hard one to swallow, understand that, well, what if I did this, then this wouldn't have happened. But that was also known. And if you did do it, that was also known as well. So from a very small point of view, all of us are tiny, and we're like the little frog in the well, and we're trying to analyze what is the Pacific or Atlantic Ocean all about. But we have no real experience. So we should just understand that not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of Krishna. Everything is conducted under Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharachara. Mother Nature is working under the direction of Krishna. So if we find ourselves here and have the opportunity for devotional service, we should consider that we are very fortunate, and somehow maybe we perform some pious activities. But regardless, by hearing from the Guru about the importance of engaging ourselves in devotional service, we should take that and then try to understand how that was already known by the Guru and Krishna. That's a difficult thing. But we should just take good instruction and move forward until we ripen. Like trying to tell a small child, you know, what it means to give, you know, birth or a family relationship. They may never understand, well, how does that all work, okay? But the details, as we mature and as we grow in our spiritual life, all these things will become understandable, and we'll just be mad in love with Krishna and go back to the spiritual world and won't have so many questions. But Maharaj has a question, an answer to something. If the microphone's there, or somebody wants to ask another question. You know, I used to do, that's true, I used to do Sankirtan. I'm still doing Sankirtan, but there are some days you would be feeling the power in the ability to speak properly and to attract people and say all the right things. But then there's other times when you become proud, Krishna takes that away. I mean, how many times I said, you know, nasta preshu badreshu nityang bhagadase, and I always think, maybe I'll forget something. And sarvasya chahang hridisana vishto matat smriti jnana pohanang cha. Krishna, he gives us remembrance, but also he causes forgetfulness. If you're singing, like say, okay, today, you know, Shruta, you sing the Mangal Arati, and you're in the third line, you think, uh-oh, what is that third line? You know, what I'm saying is, we may have been doing something routinely for years and years and years, but Krishna can take it away in a moment. But also Krishna can give us remembrance and ability to understand. So the secret is to surrender to Prabhupada, follow the routine, and Krishna will empower us and sometimes humble us by making us forget. When you're sitting on the big asana, you forget everything. Huh? One more? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see your... So Krishna fulfilled Narada Muni's... Yes. Krishna's very kind. Prabhuji, okay, last question. Thank you. Was I supposed to answer something? There was a comment, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I may have caught some of the question, but there are many, many things that anyone who hears this pastime is sure to be delivered, go home, back to Godhead. If somebody performs this, you know, austerity of going around, you know, doing their parikram or this or that, he's assured this. And so all these things are there, but also our mentality and our purpose and our surrender. Because only one who is totally desireless, who only wants to serve Krishna and performing the activity for the pleasure of Krishna, then he gets the full benefit, you see. Whereas there's benefit in studying the Vedas, there's benefit in performing yajnas, austerities and parikrams and all these things. But until we pure-heartedly accept the order of our spiritual master in the heart and serve with no other purpose than to give pleasure to Krishna, then the benedictions come full on. I mean, I don't want to try to judge a benediction. I'm not sure if I understood your whole question either, because, you know, it was hard to understand. But I think I got the gist of it, right? Well, the sadhana practice will help us to get the proper mentality as well. Because if we're not on a day-to-day basis following the order of the spiritual master, then we may perform all kinds of activities which will ultimately not give us the fruit unless we have that mood of surrender and the mood of just without any other desire than to serve Krishna and spiritual master. I just understood it that way. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.